السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
When relating accounts from the life of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, Hadrat Musleh Maud draws very subtle lessons to be learnt from them. These guide a mu'min, a true believer, to the correct path of faith. They also enable a mu'min to recognize the true essence of the religion and Allah the Almighty and attain proper insight of it. On one occasion, Hadrat Musleh Maud was delivering a sermon in which he gave a commentary of Ayat al-Kursi. He was explaining this part of the verse, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَهُ إِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Hadrat Musleh Maud says, God says here, so now tell me, when all in the heavens and earth belongs to the Master, the Lord, how can you make anyone else a god? People say they worship none save Allah. However, they show homage to those they consider close to God. They give offerings and implore them for prayers and seek blessings from them. In return, they believe these individuals will act as intercessors to God on their behalf. However, God the Almighty says, without His permission, none can act as an intercessor. In our era, no one is greater in rank than the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Once Abdul Rahim Khan, the son of Nawab Muhammad Ali Khan, was very ill. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, prayed for the son and received a revelation. He will not be saved. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, thought, Nawab Sahib has left everything and come to Qadian. And if his son died, it may become a trial for Nawab Sahib. Thus, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, beseeched God Almighty in supplication. O Lord, I give my intercession for this child's health to be restored. Upon this, he received a revelation. مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَهُ إِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who are you to act as an intercessor without my permission? Now look, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was undoubtedly of the highest rank. His advent had been awaited for the last 1300 years. Yet when he tried to act as an intercessor, God the Almighty replied, "Who are you to act as an intercessor without my permission?" The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that when he received this revelation, he fell down, and his body started trembling, and he felt he was about to die. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, overcome in this state, God Almighty revealed to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, "Very well then, we give permission for the intercession." Thus, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave his intercession and Abdul Rahim recovered to good health. It was the grace of the Almighty that his prayers were accepted, and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was unable to act as an intercessor. Yet even here, one who has the rank of being the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is told by God, "Who are you to act as an intercessor without my permission?" What significance do others have, therefore, who walk around as holier than thou, and believe they can act as intercessors for everyone? The hadith teach us that intercession of even the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will only avail by divine permission. And so how foolish is a person who thinks individuals can be intercessors in their favor? This misconception has created the ill habit of shrine worshipping to become prevalent among our society. They commit shirk, associate partners with God, and embroiled in this, they worship the peers, the spiritual leaders. Every Ahmadi should remember that Allah the Almighty said to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that even his intercession would only be allowed by the permission of Allah alone. Let us now look at how Allah the Almighty displayed astonishing manifestations of his might in support of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hadhrat Musleh Maud, citing an example of this, relates, once the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, complained of a severe cough. He would stay awake all night to take care of his son, Mubarak Ahmed, who was his youngest son. I would sleep in those days at around midnight and wake up very early. As I slept, I saw the promised Messiah alayhi salam awake, and when I woke up, he would still be awake. This struggle is what led to the promised Messiah suffering from a bad cough, and this ill health prolonged. It was my duty to give the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, his medicines to drink. It is natural that when one is assigned with a task, he feels he has a right to interfere in matters related to it. Thus, I felt I should take my right of being a helper to make suggestions on the food and drink intake of the promised Messiah, and would recommend to him to not eat or drink particular things. Remedies prepared by Hazrat Khalifa Tumsi I, may Allah be pleased with him, and also allopathic medicines were used. However, the promised Messiah's cough worsened. This was in 1907. An apostate, Abdul Hakim, learned of the promised Messiah's severe coughing and wrote, "Mirza Sahib will die of tuberculosis." We thought that we should not give Abdul Hakim the opportunity to rejoice in this wrong way. However, the promised Messiah's cough was so severe that sometimes it seemed as if he would lose his breath and choke between very lengthy coughs. It was in this predicament that someone came from out of town, bringing with them a gift of fruits. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, I presented these fruits to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, who told me to say Jazakallah to the visitor. He then proceeded to pick up one of the fruits, which I think was the banana. Then, either because I was the one who gave his medicines, or to teach me a lesson. The promised Messiah on whom be peace said to me, how is it to eat this for one suffering from a cough? I replied, it is not very good, to which he smiled, peeled the banana and started to eat it. I said again, the cough is severe, and eating this will make things worse. He smiled and continued eating. In foolishness, I continued insisting he should stop eating the banana. He smiled again and said, I have just received the revelation. Your cough has ended. From then on, his cough subsided, even though he took no medicines and did not take any precautions. On the contrary, he lived completely without precaution and taking care of himself, and yet his cough diminished. For a month before, various treatments were applied and the cough persisted. This is the divine will. Normally, a lack of precaution leads to illness, and treatment restores one to good health. However, Allah the Almighty can change the course of destiny. Man has been taught by Allah the Almighty to use the weapon of prayer and submit before the Lord that I do not desire complete liberty and am frustrated with my current plight. Thus, O Lord, confirm me with your favor and change my current situation. Allah the Almighty then sees that the person has put his complete trust in him and thus wills to change his situation and does so, and in this also displays his might. After relating this incident, Hazrat Musleh Maud related another faith-inspiring account with reference to Lekh Ram and says, the incident of Lekh Ram can also be presented in light of the fact that when Allah so wills, He can make a person ill despite having all facilities to good health. The promised Messiah on whom be peace had been given a revelation by Allah the Almighty that Lekh Ram would perish on the second day of Eid within 6 years. It is not difficult for an individual to protect and secure himself for a few days every year in a 6-year period. And he had recourse to making special provisions for his personal safety in this short period of time. Despite this, Allah the Almighty fulfilled the prophecy of the promised Messiah on whom be peace against all apparent circumstances. Lekh Ram perishing was decreed for the 6th of March. On the 1st of March, Lekh Ram was summoned to Multan by his organization, where he delivered 4 lectures until the 4th of March. He was then sent a telegram instructing him to reach Sakkar. However, as plague had broken out there, the Arya Samaj of Multan prevented him from travelling there. Lekh Ram then prepared to go to Muzaffarabad. However, it is unknown why he instead returned straight to Lahore, where he arrived on the afternoon of the 6th of March. Had he not returned on this day, the prophecy would have remained unfulfilled. Although he could have stayed outside of Lahore, he returned at the appointed time and was murdered. This example shows that despite good health, safety and security, one can succumb to death. In short, Allah the Almighty can change the course of man's situation entirely according to His will and thus demonstrates His might. Mention has already been made of Sahibzada Mirza Mubarak Ahmed Sahib. Taking care of him had a detrimental effect on the health of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. But he had great love for this son. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, Our youngest brother's name was Mubarak Ahmed, whose grave rests to the east of the Promised Messiah's grave in Beheshti Maqbara. Mubarak Ahmed was very dear to the Promised Messiah. Hazur says, how dear was this son to him, and how did he take care of him? Hazur Musleh Maud relates, I remember we were small and fond of rearing chickens. Some I reared and others by the late Mir Ishaq Sahib and Mia Bashir Ahmed Sahib. In our childhood enthusiasm, we woke early and opened the cage, counted the eggs, and would boast to one another which one of our chickens had laid the most eggs. The late Mubarak Ahmed would also join in this fun with us. One day, however, he fell ill. A lady from Sialkot would come to help look after him, whom we called Dadi or Grandmother. Others too would call her by this name. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I would get very annoyed by this. However, there was no other way to identify with the lady. Hence, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I would instead call her Jagdadi, grandmother common to all. When Mubarak Ahmed fell ill, this grandmother said the reason was because he was always around the chickens where there is filth. Upon hearing this, the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said to Hazrat Amma Jan, the blessed wife of the Promised Messiah, to inform him how many chickens there were, to give the children money for their value, and to sacrifice the chickens to eat. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, greatly loved Mubarak Ahmed. Hazrat Musleh Maud has recorded the state of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam at the time of the death of this most beloved son at several occasions, who he took so much care of. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, nursed him with extreme dedication during his last illness. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that the Promised Messiah alayhi salam had a very strong love for our younger brother Mubarak Ahmed. When he fell ill, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, dedicated so much time and energy to his treatment that everyone thought that his death would be a great shock to the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was a very valiant and courageous person. The day Mubarak Ahmed died, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I came to visit him after leading the dawn prayers, the Fajr prayers. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that his role at the time was to look after Mubarak Ahmed and gave him his medication on time. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, I was the one who asked Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I to come home with me. There were other people at home at the time, including Dr. Mirza Yaqub Ahmed and probably Dr. Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib. When Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I came to see Mubarak Ahmed, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, told him that the boy looks better now. He is sleeping. While in fact, these were the final moments of his life. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that when he arrived with Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, Mubarak Ahmed was lying down with his head towards the north and feet towards the south. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I stood on his left side and felt for the pulse in his wrist. He could not feel the pulse. At this he asked the Promised Messiah to get some mushk. Then he tried to feel for the pulse near the elbow, but no pulse was there either. At this he said to the Promised Messiah, Hazur, Your Holiness, please bring it quickly. Then Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I felt for the pulse near the armpit, but he couldn't feel the pulse even there. He got worried and urged the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to bring the mush quickly. During this time, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was opening the locked case with the key. Hazrat Maulvi Sahib anxiously asked for the mushk for the last time. He was overwhelmed with the thoughts that the death of Mubarak Ahmed would be extremely distressing for the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was a strong person. Despite that, the thought of impending death of Mubarak Ahmed shook him off his feet and he had to sit down on the floor. He was hoping that possibly the heart of Mubarak Ahmed was still beating and it may be possible to revive the heart with the use of the mushk. But the urgency in the tone of the voice of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I made it clear that he was not very hopeful about this. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, heard the distressed voice of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, he realized that Mubarak Ahmed was about to pass away. He stopped unlocking his case and said, "Molvi Sahib, if the boy has passed away, then why are you getting so distressed? He was a trust from our God to us, and now God has taken his trust back. So who are we to complain about this? Perhaps you feel that because I have taken so much care of him, I will be in greater distress. Serving him was my obligation, which I have fulfilled. Now he has passed away, we are fully content with the will of God the Almighty." There and then, he started writing letters to his acquaintances. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that close to the cabinet for the medicines, there were some postcards. So instead of looking for the medicines, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, took out the postcards and started to write to his close friends to inform them about the death of Mubarak Ahmed. The promised Messiah said that Mubarak Ahmed was a trust from God who has been taken back to him. This is the duty of a true believer, that he serves others for as long as he can and regards this as a matter of great virtue for himself. And when the will of God takes its course, a true believer does not get upset. He regards this as an opportunity to serve others. However, those who become anguished and distressed at such occasions suffer in this world and in the next as well. Who could be more unfortunate than the person who suffers twice, once in this world and then in the next? Hazrat Musleh Maud, while addressing the people of Qadian, said that you may have witnessed it yourself that during the illness of Maulvi Abdul Karim and Mubarak Ahmed, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made a tremendous effort to treat them. This degree of effort might have given an impression to those around him that the promised Messiah believed that the progress of his movement depended upon the lives of these two. During those days, no one talked about anything else. All the talk was about what treatment to give, and how, and when. But then you saw what happened after their deaths. The change in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was astonishing. After the death of both Mubarak Ahmed and Maulvi Abdul Karim, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, addressed his followers in a comforting manner, with a smile on his face, explaining that God has informed him in advance about these deaths. Hazrat Musleh Maud also quotes an incident that after the death of Mubarak Ahmed, the promised Messiah came out of the house and sat among the people who had gathered outside. He addressed them by saying that this is a trial from our God. The people of our community should not get distressed over such trials and tribulations. Then the promised Messiah said that he had a divine revelation about Mubarak Ahmed that he would be called away at a very young age. In fact, we must cherish his death as we have witnessed the fulfilling of a divine sign. Hazrat Musleh Maud said, "If any of our brothers, sons or relative were to die and there was a divine prophecy informing us of their death, then along with the inevitable sadness associated with their death, we will also feel gratified. We will not feel gratified because we don't care about them. Indeed, they mean a lot to us. But God means even more to us. Therefore, it is not possible for us to ignore a sign of God. Thus, our duty is to demonstrate to the world these two qualities. We must raise awareness about the warnings of great calamities as signs of truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. At the same time, we should help those who are injured and are suffering through these calamities. That is to say that those affected by these disasters are indeed our own brethren. They are dying as a result of the divine signs of calamities that have been prophesied by the promised Messiah. It does not behove us to show happiness that people died as a result of a divine sign. Rather, it is imperative for us to help those who are injured or are suffering as a result of those divinely prophesied calamities. This will make clear to the world that we are not afraid to face any taunts or difficulties as a result of publicizing the divine warnings of calamities, and this world does not have a greater well-wisher than us. With the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community helps the people in need everywhere. If we demonstrate both of these qualities, then God would also show two of His favors upon us. Firstly, the blessings that comes from the heavens, and secondly, the favor that appears on this earth. So all these incidences bring to light the true character of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He showed total dedication to the treatment of his son and his close colleague, but when nature took its course, he showed elation at the fulfillment of divine signs and did not show any distress. When the divine decree came to pass, he reacted as if nothing had happened. He also enthused the members of this community to do their utmost to turn their attention to Allah the Exalted and aim to gain the best objective in life. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explained that the true purpose of our life is to gain the approbation and pleasure of God. The promised Messiah explained to his followers that when the divine signs of calamity are fulfilled, we should feel pleased that a divine sign has come true, and at the same time, we must make every effort to serve humanity suffering as a result of these calamities. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that Sahibzada Mubarak Ahmed was an extremely intelligent child. I will endeavor to explain it with an example of feelings and emotions. Those who have seen the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, know that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, deeply loved Mubarak Ahmed. There are many reasons for this. Firstly, Mubarak Ahmed was weak and generally suffered from ill health. Because of that, the promised Messiah paid him special attention. And indeed, if you give someone special attention, you end up developing a special love for them. Secondly, he was the youngest. Despite his tender age, he was very intelligent and capable. This was the reason that the promised Messiah used to love him so much. Mubarak Ahmed was only 7 years old and was able to write poetry. It is quite an accomplishment to become a talented poet at such a young age. One example of his high intellectual capacity and memory is that once the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was writing a poem and asked all his children to find the words rhyming with Yahi Hai. Mubarak Ahmed found the most of the rhyming words. These were of very good quality. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that we should try and serve the creation of Allah the Almighty physically as well. This will reflect the divine attribute of Rububiyat in us. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that he will never forget that when he was only 16 or 17 years old, his younger sister passed away. She was only a few months old. She was taken to be buried in the graveyard where the Ahrar insisted that Ahmadis cannot be buried. After offering the funeral, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, lifted the body of the little girl. At this, Mirza Ismail Beg Sahib, a local milkman, came forward and requested to help the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to carry the body. At this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said to him, "She was my daughter, and the last physical service I can offer her is to carry her to her grave. I will carry her to the grave myself." Reflecting on this incident, Hazrat Musleh Maud said that we should try and mirror the attribute of God, Rabbul Alameen, in our personalities. It is important to serve the creations of God physically. If you give away all your belongings and income for the propagation of Islam, then you will become an image of the divine attribute of Malik. But in order to become the reflection of the Rabb, of the Rabbul Alameen, it is required that you work with your hands and are always ready to serve those in need. What a beautiful explanation. In order to become the image of the divine attribute of Rabbul Alameen, it is crucial that we work with our hands and serve not only our own, but others as well. If you ponder over this, it will become clear that such a practice leads to wonderful outcomes. This increases the solidarity within a nation. If everybody in the society has a mindset to serve others, the society becomes a really blissful place. Hazrat Musleh Maud explained an incident that reflects that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, placed his trust completely in his God. He had total faith in his truthfulness and acceptance of his prayers. Hazrat Musleh Maud relates that once during the time of the promised Messiah, there was a court case regarding the custody of a mosque between Ahmadi and non-Ahmadi Muslims in Karpur Tala. The judge presiding over the case appeared quite hostile against Ahmadis. At this, Ahmadis of Karpur Tala became concerned and wrote a letter to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, requesting his prayers. At this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote back, saying that if I am truthful, then Ahmadis will get the custody of this mosque. Nonetheless, the judge continued his hostile manner, and finally he wrote his judgment against the Ahmadis. The next day, the judge was getting ready to go to the court to declare this judgment. He asked his servant to help him get his shoes on. The servant helped him to get his boot on one foot, and as he was putting the boot on the second foot, the servant heard a thud. He looked up and found that the judge had passed away of a massive heart attack. Then another judge was appointed, who changed the judgment in favour of the Ahmadis. This was a great sign for the people of our community and consolidated their faith immensely. Indeed, this is the practice of Allah the Exalted, that through his prophets he gives the news about the future as prophecies, and when the believers see these prophecies come true, this enhances their faith. Indeed, it was a result of the prophecies regarding the future that made people believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His followers excelled in resolve and courage. Generally, people get afraid when they face death, but if the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a chance to sacrifice their life in the cause of faith, they express extreme delight. Some of them have known to have said, "By God, who is the master of the Kaaba, I am triumphed." Hazrat Musleh Maud also explained the instance when a kashf, a vision of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was fulfilled within minutes. Hazrat Musleh Maud explained, "Sometimes one is shown a vision from the Divine while wide awake. This vision does not need an interpretation, as it comes true exactly as it has been shown in the divine experience. This vision comes true as clearly as the morning sun rises." Indeed, we have many examples in the life of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, of this kashf, or vision. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that once the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, saw a kashf that her younger brother has fallen close to a jatai, a woven mat, and has sustained many injuries. Within 2 or 3 minutes of this vision, Mubarak Ahmad, who was standing next to the jatai, or the woven mat, slipped and was injured, and his clothes were soaked in blood. Then, to explain the state of the early years in Qadian and the progress of the Jamaat in Qadian, Hadhrat Musleh Maud said that there was a time that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, did not even have one person with him. Then his followers increased in number to thousands, and now they are in hundreds of thousands. Then there was a time when there was no one in Punjab who believed in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and now Ahmadis have spread not only in India, rather in all continents of the world. If the world does not believe in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the Jamaat, where did all these people come from? And now entire countries are converting to Ahmadiyyat, or Ahmadiyyat is being spread there. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that just look around, good people are sitting in front of me right now. How many of them accepted the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in the beginning? I think that there are very few people in this gathering who saw the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The majority of those sitting here saw his picture. Then, there are also those who saw the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, but never got a chance to benefit from his company. And there are very few, probably not more than dozens, who heard him speak, and they got a chance to benefit from his company. But where did these people come from? Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that my birth and the Baid, the oath of allegiance, almost happened simultaneously. In my childhood, when I reached an age of consciousness, it was that time when a few years of propagation or tabligh had passed. But I remember that only Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib accompanied the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his morning walks. Hazur says that is only two people were there. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, once the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, visited a particular location in Qadian. Since I was a young boy at that time, I insisted to go for a walk with him. There used to be a type of plant there in those days. It is the same area where Talimul Quran High School boarding and mosque presently stand. This entire area was filled with this type of plant. And other than this type of plant, there used to be nothing else there. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came to this location for a walk and brought me along him when I insisted. But after walking a little distance, I created an uproar that I was tired, due to which the promised Messiah and Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib took turns to carry me. I remember that scene to this very day. So it was such a time that although the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had made their claim, there were very few people who followed him, and hardly anyone visited Qadian. But now the situation is such that we have to make an announcement repeatedly that people should seek permission before migrating to Qadian. If someone migrates to Qadian without permission, they might be compelled to return. Hadhrat Musleh Maud said this in 1937. Therefore, these incidents are most definitely a source for increasing our faith and conviction. May God the Almighty increase our faith and conviction, and may we all become useful individuals for the Jamaat. After prayer, I will also offer one funeral prayer in absentia, which is for respected Naseem Mahmood Sahiba, wife of Mahmood Ahmad Shah Sahib of Karachi. She passed away due to cancer on 27th April 2015 in Karachi. She was 58 years old. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Her father accepted Ahmadiyya during the tumultuous period in 1953. He did some personal study after an incident during this time and accepted Ahmadiyya. Opposition opens up many ways towards progression of the Jamaat. The incident was as follows. Respected Malik Muhammad Rafiq Sahib was serving in the Pakistan Air Force. When he left for Karachi from Lahore, a congregation of Maulvis took some train from Rewind. This incident is from 1953, when the first disorder against Ahmadis took place in Pakistan. The congregation of Maulvis got on the train from Rewind and stated that we are going for jihad and we will not rest until we efface Qadianiyat from this country. He says that other than Muhammad Rafiq Sahib and his fellow officer, not one Maulvi presented the ticket when the ticket inspector asked for it. This made him think that these Maulvis are on this train without tickets. If they were truthful and their jihad was real, then they would not travel without a ticket and damage the national treasure. Hazru says now they cause even more damage. Hadar Muslihimot says, anyway, after this incident, when he arrived in Karachi for work, he asked his in charge if there was a Qadiani in the unit. After having a conversation with an Ahmadi and finding out more information, he took the bayat, the oath of allegiance, and entered the fold of Ahmadiyyat. So this is how her father accepted Ahmadiyyat, and Ahmadiyyat entered in her family. The deceased was involved in a department of teaching from 1987 until present. God the Almighty granted her immense ability to serve the Jamaat from 1997 until her death. She had the opportunity to serve as local Sadr Lajna twice, from 1997 till 2005 for 8 years, then from 2007 till 2013 for 6 years. Then she was elected as the coordinator of auxiliaries. She was an Amla member of the district of Karachi, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, she continued to serve in this position. She is also a Musya. Other than her husband, respected Mahmood Shah Sahib, she left behind 2 sons and 2 daughters. Both her sons are missionaries. Hafiz Sayyid Shahid Ahmed Sahib, who is in Nigeria, and the other son is respected Hafiz Mushud Ahmed Sahib, who is serving in Jamia, UK. He could not even attend his mother's funeral. Hafiz Sayyid Mushud Ahmed Sahib writes that my parents presented both their sons in the way of God after we memorized the Holy Quran. They made us both Hafiz and admitted us in Jamia. My respected mother gave precedence to faith over worldly matters in every situation, and she instilled in us from our very childhood that we were only to serve the Jamaat. He says that it was a daily routine to make us memorize prayers when we went to bed at night and to pray for us. Particularly, she used to recite couplets from the prayer written by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in favor of one's progeny, that my Lord, there is one prayer of mine. She recited this prayer very melodiously and with immense pain. She used to say that your older brother is going to become a missionary and you are going to Rabwa from Karachi to memorize the Holy Quran. Afterwards, Allah the Almighty favored and both their brothers memorized the Holy Quran, then devoted their lives and went to Jamia, and now they are both serving as missionaries. He says that during our stay in Madrasatul Hifz, our beloved mother travelled to Rabwa from Karachi almost every month. During those times, the railway system was very frail and painful. She would meet us and listen to the portion we had memorized. She would wash our clothes and iron them. After serving us for a day, she would travel back to Karachi the next day because she was affiliated with the Department of Teaching. She would return to her school and fulfill her responsibilities. He was visiting her just recently. He could not attend her funeral, but he met her during her sickness. He says that, "I was visiting her recently and she was sick. When I went there, she said that I always pray to Allah the Almighty, that, O my Master, do not make me a trial for my sons who are life devotees." A prominent aspect of her life was that she used to help a lot in resolving marital disputes and issues related to the marriage of the children of her relatives and also non-acquaintances. She had immense passion, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the compassionate relationship she had with the Jamaat and Jamaat members only for the sake of Allah was unique and very magnificent. May Allah the Almighty raise the status of the deceased, and may He grant her progeny to continue her virtuous deeds, and may He make them heirs of her prayers.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.